Hi, this is Bishop E. James Logan, Senior Pastor of Christian Faith Fellowship Church in Zion, Illinois. Welcome to our podcast. I pray you'll be blessed by a fresh word from God every time you tune in.
Hallelujah. I'm so excited. I am so full of the Word of God. That's something good to be full on as I've, you know, been working out and working on my fitness and making sure that my physical temple is up to par with what God has called and commissioned for me to do. Because this ain't a part of my message, but we got to get our bodies in order for the assignment that we have. It's interesting that professional athletes will train and spend millions of dollars to make their bodies as physically fit as they possibly can so that they can continue doing the assignment that they're called to, the sphere of influence that they're called to. Bodybuilders, they will put themselves through strenuous workouts and do various things and lift weights, and you see veins and I just wanted you to know that growth does not come without pain. Growth does not come without sacrifice. So we have to make sure that our physical bodies can help aid in our assignment that God has put us on earth to do. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. So I'm so honored to be here. My name is Cameron Logan, if you didn't know. I'm the assistant pastor here. I've been serving in the pastoral role for 6 years. And every year, God showed me this, every year that I've been an elder or pastor, God has always brought back to me around the same time in May about understanding our identity and purpose in the kingdom of God. Understanding our identity and purpose in the kingdom of God. It is one of the saddest things of all time for us as believers to not know who we really are. For us to not know why God put us on this earth. So every year, God reminds me, son, this is why you're here. This is why I created you in your mother's womb. And before that, I knew, I predestined, I already called you. So it's important for us to understand that. Amen? So we're going to continue from Wednesday's teaching on the culture of the kingdom. The culture of the kingdom. This is going to be part two. The culture of the kingdom. You may have your seats. I pray that you brought some writing utensils or you're going to take notes, because I'm Professor Cam this morning. And y'all did come to church, so this ain't going to be no 15-minute TED talk. If you got somewhere to be, just text them now. Girl, I'm going to be a little late. Now, you got plans at 10:30. You ain't going to make it. You ain't gonna make it. Go ahead, text him. All right. You got a tea time. Doc? The culture of the kingdom. The culture of the kingdom. This is part two. In part one, I lay down some ground rules, and I let you know that the Bible is not just some religious book. The Bible is not just some book of rules and regulations and commandments and things that we can and can't do and things that we can and can't wear and foods we can and can't eat. The Bible is a kingdom book of principles. It is a testament, which is a legal document of acts that truly happened. So the Bible is facts. Somebody say facts. I know somebody may have told you otherwise, but the Bible is true. Amen? And the Bible is a testament of a God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that we might become the righteousness of God, and that we can take our rightful place in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Now, when we talked about culture, we Many words may come to your mind. You may think of pop culture. You may think of hip-hop culture. You may think of entertainment culture. You may even think of the culture of your heritage or your homeland or your home country or your people, your relatives, your kinfolk, right? That could be considered and classified as culture. Somebody say culture. Culture. And we understand what culture is. It's a way of doing things. It's a way we do things. It's the words that we say or the way that we say the words that we say, right? Like when I was growing up, I used to say, "Dad, can I spend a night at such and such house?" You may have grown up and you may have said, "Mom, can I spend the night?" Well, I say spend a night. Do I have some spend a night believers in here? Come on. Spend a night. It's all one word. It just runs together. Okay? Some of you may have had sleepovers. I've never had a sleepover. I spent the night. Or I was spending the night. Right? In our culture, that is the way that I heard it. So that's the way I regurgitated what I heard. Y'all follow me? In our culture, on Thanksgiving, we eat what? Come on, shout it out. Turkey, what else? Collards, what else? Mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, what else? No. If you eat chitlins, lift your hands and receive deliverance now. I'm going to tell you a quick story. My grandma had me. Okay, let me go back. We're going to get back into the culture of the kingdom. Stay with me. As a young lad, spending the night at my grandmother's house, I would eat chitlins from here to there. They had a solid taste. I always thought it looked funny because, you know, young children, like, if something don't look right to them, they're not going to eat it. Like, they would put pepper on different things. I'd be like, it's black stuff in my food. I'm not eating that. I didn't know what it was, but it was black stuff. I just felt like black stuff shouldn't be in my mouth. So I just wouldn't eat it. I thought it was bugs, okay? Now, I always thought it was interesting, and as they were preparing it, it had a certain stench or smell. Somebody say smell. I said stench. It stank. It didn't smell good. And then one time as I got older, grandma called me in the kitchen and said, "Hey, baby," I'm thinking I'm about to get, you know, I used to always be the taste tester. She would get that spatula. And I would, you already know, in our culture, we get that spatula and we taste from the spatula. Not our finger, we taste from the spatula. Then you wash it off and then you do whatever you, right? So she called me in the kitchen. She said, "Baby, I want you to clean these." I said, "Grandma, what is that?" She said, "Chitlins." "Excuse me? These are what? Chitlins. How you think they get clean?" I didn't know we had to clean them. "And I'll never eat them again." "Grandma, what's this black stuff?" "Baby, you know what chitlins are." "I don't. Pig intestines." "Oh, I'm out. I don't care how much seasoning you put in them, how juicy you make them. After I'd had to clean them things, they can't be in my body. All right, now I'm praying for you. But anyway, the culture, it's a part of the culture of our community to oftentimes eat things that aren't good for us. Just like on Thanksgiving, we eat all of that food. Sugar levels is just high. It's all get out. We got the nerve to sit down and pray over it. "Father, bless this food. We are so thankful. We are thankful for the sacrifice you made and this sacrificial ham that I am about to partake. God, we thank you for your goodness and mercy that follows me all the days of my life. Father, we are glad for the sweet potato pie, the peach cobbler, and the apple pie." Any pumpkin piers in here? Praying for you. "We thank you for this food that we are about to eat that is slowly killing us. Because after we eat it, we're going to be asleep. Because we can't move no more. Right? It is a part of our culture. It is a part of our culture. And as I said in part one, culture is another representation of glory. Glory. Somebody say glory. 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 If you want the notes, you got to go back and listen to Wednesday, because I don't have time to go back, because then y'all going to be here for 2 hours. Y'all going to be looking at me sideways. All right. Now, culture can also be synonymous with customs. Somebody say customs. Customs. Anybody familiar with customs? Anybody familiar with customs? Amen. Customs is a traditional and widely accepted way of doing something that is specific to a particular society, place, or time. I'll read that again for you. Customs is a traditional and widely accepted way of doing something that is specific to a particular society, place, or time. Or customs can be an established practice. Somebody say established practice. Or an enforced law. Depending on where you go, certain areas are going to enforce their customs or their culture on you. Did you know that? How many of you don't believe that? Okay. It's important that we understand that, because everywhere you go, you are being influenced by the culture of that territory that you're in. Right? Everywhere you go. And I used to think as customs is just being something that is particular or specific to countries, traveling the country. My wife and I, we travel often, and when you go to Mexico, you go through customs. When you come back from Mexico, you go through United States customs. And sometimes you wait for a long time, even if you got clear and all that stuff, because it's just so many people. They want to make sure that you're not bringing something from another territory into a new territory and thinking that's okay, that you're just going to bring somebody else's glory into this country. Y'all following me? So customs, it's a big deal. Customs and culture are a big deal. Now, we understand kingdom tidbits and a few principles, but we don't have the full understanding of the kingdom of God. Why do I say that? Well, we understand tidbits of the kingdom, but we don't necessarily connect it to the kingdom of God. Customs and culture are all a part of the kingdom of God. And I'll give you scripture to back that up. You can't even live in Illinois coming from another state without first changing your license plate, getting a new ID card. You can't. I thought I was going to finesse the game. My wife and I got married. She had Texas plates. And I'm like, man, we just going to keep, because their stuff is just so much cheaper to do. They just have a little tag. They don't got to put stickers on their license plate. They just put a tag in the window. Boom. And I think you go through the emissions test, and they just test it. Okay, boom, your car good? We give you a sticker. Boom, go home. Well, Illinois, they're just so corrupt and evil, and they just charge you for every little thing. So I told myself, well, I'm going to try to bring the customs of Texas on up here to Illinois. And I was driving her car back and forth to work in Milwaukee until one day I got pulled over, and the officer said, sir, do you know why I pulled you over? I don't know why they ask that all the time. No, sir, I do not. I wasn't speeding. But he said, sir, you have Texas plates. Are you on a road trip? I said, well, my commute to work, yeah. And you stopping me, I got about an hour and 15 to go. And he said, well, sir, just make sure you get those plates changed over to the state where you live so there won't be any issues or violations. We know about violations. Some of y'all got tickets you ain't paid for yet. I'm talking about me. talking about me. They want me to put a front plate on. It don't look good, but anyway. So states are enforcing their customs and their culture, whether you believe it or not. After a certain amount of years, 6 years, you have to go and renew your what? License. Four. It's four. It feels like six. I'm getting older. And after you renew your license, there's just a peace that comes over you that just like, okay, I'm not riding dirty anymore. Some of you, y'all keep y'all previous year sticker until 2 years later, and you think that's going to work. Because go to Chicago and park. You're going to get a ticket because they're going to enforce their culture and their customs on you. Certain areas are very lax in enforcing their culture on you, right? Like around here, ain't nobody really gonna mess with me for not having a front plate. But the minute I get into the atmosphere or the kingdom of Chicago, y'all laughing. This is real. If I park on the street or anywhere that is visible, or I was at the airport, I parked inside the airport's garage, and I did not have a front plate, and I came back 3 days later with a ticket on my windshield because they had walked around the parking garage to enforce their what? Customs and culture. So specific areas and regions will enforce their customs and culture more than others. Okay? Culture has kind of somewhat been dumbed down. It's been made like a trendy word now. It's like, oh yeah, we doing it for the culture. Do it for the culture. It's like, your culture is not hip. They even call certain individuals, a specific family who has been on TV for 21 years doing reality TV, they call that particular family culture vultures. Stealing the culture of another group of people and profiting on it without them being true to that culture. Many of the things that the world has established, they got from the kingdom of God. Why? Because kingdom principles always work. This is why some of the biggest givers in the world give to charities. Why? Because they understand the principle of giving. It's quiet. Your job, man, they give so much money. They have foundations and they have certain things set up to give away money. Why? Because they know when I give, I'm going to receive. Customs is very similar. Customs is very similar. Do I have anyone that is from another country that now lives here? Since you're up here, I want to give you a mic. I want you to explain what you had to endure to live in this country. You got 2 minutes. Elder James, where are you at to make sure you enforce it?
First, we have to go to that room.
Where did you come from?
Haiti.
Okay.
I was born in Haiti, and when we got here, we have to go to the first room in Miami, first of all, to make sure that you're not illegal.
Mm.
And they have to take your fingerprints to say that whether or not you were not a thief or you're not a bad guy coming to the country. And they make you spend some time to make sure all your paperwork is good and you're ready to go. And when you came here, I came here directly to Illinois, and we have to make sure, because I came here with my parents, we're already resident of Illinois, so I came here with my green cards after 2 weeks, and I got my green cards. Then I have to create my social security to make sure that I can work in this country since I'm legal. And after that, a long time after that, I became a citizen because...
How long did it take for you from to transfer from your green card to become a citizen?
It's been a long time. But it took me about 8 years.
8 years?
Yeah. But I wanted to wait anyway mm-hmm. because I had some political agenda. No, I'm messing with you.
Come on.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's a long process. And that's what I always say. A lot of people over here, they take, I mean, even American citizens, they take the country for granted and not knowing what it takes. Like my wife here, I mean, she got here. I mean, it's like all the paperwork, even things that I didn't pass. I mean, income, everything that I have to compile, everything to make sure that I represent her, I can support her, mm-hmm. and everything, and until they give her the green card. So now she is a permanent resident. Otherwise, they give her a certain amount of time to be here legally. Otherwise, yeah. she has to go back to
she
Haiti.
She has to go back.
Yeah, because that's what customs said.
That's what customs said. Thank
yes.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. So that's good. Yeah, give it up for Brother Ferris. So he had to go through a process from transferring his citizenship from Haiti to America. He had to do paperwork, countless paperwork. Why? Because they wanted to make sure he understood the customs of America before they gave him citizenship or rights in this kingdom. Ooh, you missed it. Before you can become a citizen, you have to have the proper understanding of the kingdom that you're about to enter. And then once you become a citizen, then you have rights. You can earn, you can buy, you can sell. But before that, you can't buy, you can't own, you can't have dominion, you can't. This is so good. He had to go through a process. When he came over here, I believe it's like the Bible says in Deuteronomy, where God says, when you go into the land that I'm giving you, don't take on the customs of those people because they're an abomination. When you go into a new territory or a new sphere of influence or a new kingdom, you have to learn their customs. But it's interesting, even in that, many of you that have been in this country for some time, you have been in this country for some while, you have adapted to the customs and the culture of America. Guess what? Guess what you brought with you? The glory of your country. You don't believe me? That's why you still got an accent and you've been here for how long? 31. She still got that Jamaican accent, you know? Wagwan, my youth. That's why when you come here, there are certain areas in certain regions that you can go, you know, that's Jamaica Town. Yeah, the majority of the people that I know, they live in this particular region. Why? Because a group of people that move from a place that they know to a place that they don't know, they will congregate together to establish their customs and their culture in a particular region. So they can feel comfortable. That's why when you go to New York, they got Chinatown, they got Jewtown, they got the hood. It's a hood everywhere. You know, the hood is everywhere, okay? They got Puerto Rican town. You know, that's why you can get beans and rice. You know a specific area where, not like, no, you don't go to that beans and rice because that's gentrified beans and rice. Come on. Come on. Where my Puerto Ricans at? Where my Boricuas? Come on. See, you know. When you go to a certain area, nah, don't go there. Taco Bell is not authentic Mexican food. I know y'all be like, ooh, Taco Tuesday, and all your Hispanic friends looking at you like, bruh. Good Burger, welcome to Good Burger. No. Everywhere that you go, that's why America is what they call the melting pot of all different kinds of cultures and customs. But when you go to Britain, you ain't gonna find no America town, because they operate in a kingdom. Woo! They are not going to allow you to establish the glory of another place in their kingdom. You don't believe me? Let's go to the word. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Many of you have read this scripture before. You know it by heart, because that's what we do as believers. We are not lacking information. We don't lack resources. We lack understanding. New King James Version reads, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And be not conformed to the customs of this world. Conformed means, conforming or conforms, it means to be or act in accord with a set of standards, expectations, or specifications. One more time for those of you that are taking notes. To be or act in accord with a set of standards, expectations, or specifications. Or to act, often unquestioningly, in accordance with traditional customs or prevailing standards. That's what it means to be conformed. How many of you know you've been conformed? You've been conformed, whether you believe it or not. You've been conformed to the ways of the culture. You've been Americanized. You've been Americanized so much that you don't understand the kingdom principles in the word. But then it says, but be transformed. Trans to change from end to end the nature, function, or condition, or to convert. That's what transformed means. So there's trans and form, to change the form of. All right? How are we to be transformed? How are we to be transformed? The word says, by the renewing of your what? Mind. No matter how many times you tell yourself you're going to get in shape, until you have your mind renewed or transformed, you will not see transformation in your body. No matter how many times you say, God, I promise this time I'm going to live for you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get in my word. I'm going to make you the focus and the center of my life, until you renew your mind from the customs of this world, you will continue to operate like you got a green card. We have so many awesome and gifted and even sometimes anointed people that have their green cards in the kingdom, but they're not citizens. You've been to their conferences. You sing their songs. You felt, oh, Shabbat, Haya. You spoke a tongue you ain't never spoke before when you was at that concert. You felt like you really wanted to live for God when you left the concert. You just knew, this is it for me. I'm changing my life. But they weren't citizens. They just had their green card. So then you begin to watch how they lived. And the moments that you had, you begin to question. Because you had people before you who did not understand their responsibility as ambassadors for Christ. I'll get to that later. So we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Re means back to its original state, or back to. So to renew is to go back to the state that we were in before. To go back to the state that we were in before. To make something new again. To restore, to refresh, or its original condition. So the Bible says, I'm going to read that one more time. I want you to hear me with your spirit. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why didn't it say, and to have a totally different mind? It says renew for a specific reason. God wants to renew, reconcile. He wants us to receive and repent. Re means what again? To go back to. So if we are going to repent, what is a penthouse? It is a very nice establishment at the top of whatever it's on. To repent is to go back to the top. That's why it says, how many of you have fallen? You've fallen from grace. Or you fail. You backslid. You slid back. Pastor, Bishop, Pastor Deborah, I fail. Well, repent so you can get back to the top. Get your mind renewed. Get your mind restored. So that you can understand that God wants to reconcile us. One of the assignments of Jesus is to restore or reconcile mankind so that we can become the what? The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Righteous means rightful place. Rightful place. Your rightful place in the kingdom is what? Dominion, authority, power, owner, landlord. Come on. Okay, y'all catch it later. Once again, the Bible is very clear in what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. We were created in the image and likeness of God to dominate the earth and establish the culture or the customs of heaven here on earth. I know we sing the songs, don't you want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven. Do you want to? I want to go too. But we have an assignment to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. You trying to go to some place where you haven't finished your assignment yet. When people see you, they should see a glimpse of royalty. That's why the Bible says in 2 Peter, you are a royal nation, a holy priesthood, set apart. Why do we not pay attention to the kingdom principles in the word? We just read it and, oh my God, I'm a royal. So we think righteousness and royalty is a look instead of a place. Righteousness is not a look. Righteousness, he looked righteous. Because there's many people that wear things that you deem as righteous. Okay, you caught it. Check out what David writes in Psalm 8. I was studying. I thought I was going to be done, like, right there. It's been a little time now. Are we good? Y'all good? Y'all learning? Amen. Somebody say dominion. Psalms 8, verses 4 through 9, New King James Version. The Bible says, what is man that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? That's not what it says. I just wanted to wake y'all up. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have made him a little lower than the angels. The word angels translated here is Elohim. Somebody say Elohim. And Elohim most oftentimes is reference to God, God himself. But there are some biblical scholars that believe in this particular instance of a little lower than the angels, that it is talking about the angelic ones. The angelic ones. You know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of principalities and rulers. Who you think is ruling them principalities and powers? See, the world made you believe that spiritual warfare and stuff, that's just stuff that we see, and you know, that ain't real. Okay. He's talking about angelic beings here. Many believe. Now, we could argue. That's cool. So it says, you have made him a little lower than angelic beings, or you have made us a little lower than you, because we are made in your image and likeness. Amen? And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have what? Dominion. Come on, let's read this like we know it. Verse 6, ready? Read. You have made him to have over the works of your hands. You have put all things under whose feet? His feet. We got dominion. So stop walking around here pouting and complaining with no power and no authority, because you don't understand how much power you really have. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Here it is again. The kingdom assignment. Our kingdom assignment is to have dominion. When we have dominion, we are able to establish whatever culture we decide. Now, if we say we are supposed to establish the culture of the kingdom, but guess what happens when you go to an area where that particular race or people group has more dominion than you? You can tell, because the buildings are named after them. They own all the property. They give you tickets on their land. They tell you how to act in their kingdom. My God. Somebody shout dominion. Dominion means to govern, to rule, to control, to judge, Oh, y'all don't like that. When you govern something, when you got dominion, you can judge. I know y'all just read that one part in the Bible. The Bible says, judge not. What else it say? What else does it say? Get you a Bible program and a commentary and get an understanding of Scripture and stop just saying stuff that you heard over and over again. This is why unbelievers can come up to you and tell you more about the Bible than you. Dominion, to judge, to master, or to be king or kingly. Somebody say, I'm a king. Somebody say, I'm a king. Y'all too quiet. Say, I'm a king. Ladies, you kings too, according to the kingdom principles. King gives you dominion. Queen gives you access, but king gives you dominion. Woo. Woo. My God. Right, Queen Elizabeth, she know. It's cute. It's cute to be queen, but I want to rule. Anybody want to rule? I want to rule. I want to have dominion. I want to dominate in the capacity that God has called me to. This is why God had Adam name all the animals. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve. And before he created Eve, he said, Adam, look, this is what I want you to do, bro. I'm going to give you a job because you got dominion. Because you have, oh my God, because I am your father. I am your Abba. Abba means father. Father is source. My father is supposed to provide sourcing and be a provider for me. So whatever my daddy does, 9 times out of 10, I don't know the exact statistics, but whatever a father does, that son is likely to become like his father or his Abba. His source. You're more likely to be like your source than anything else. But we don't have a good, healthy relationship with Abba. Because we look at him like, oh, he's God. He gonna send thunder and lightning. God. He is Abba. That's why I said, when you pray like this. Abba, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. Abba, Father. Can I tap dance on your business for a second? Some of y'all, get in trouble. Some of y'all scared of Bishop because you view him as the bishop. I view him as dad, father. And even when I'm in the wrong, see, when you're in the wrong, you scared, you run, you hide. We don't see you for a little while. You don't communicate. When I'm in trouble, my gut, I don't want to disappoint dad, father. And every time I begin to think like some of you, he calls me and he corrects me in love because Father's love. God says, don't be scared of me. I love you. I'm Abba. I'm going to correct you, but it's going to be in love. Because I want you to understand why I called you to earth. I want you to understand why the sacrifice of my son Jesus was so necessary. God did this for us. He did this for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. God had Adam name all the animals. Because whatever you name, you own. Our parents, children, I know you ain't like that.
My daddy don't own me.
Yes, he do. You calling him for money, don't you? You know where your source is. Come on. Come on. You know where your source is. That's why you got to listen to your parents. Because there's a kingdom principle that says honor your father and your mother. so that your days may be long in the earth. It's a lot of young folks dying. God had Adam name all of the creatures. I mean, just imagine the kind of dominion that you have. You just walk up to a lion. You a lion. Roar to you too. Lion. Walk up to us. You a serpent. You slithering serpent. Oh, that's a porcupine. I mean, just imagine. You have the ability to name because you have dominion. You have rulership, ownership as a kingdom citizen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 20 and 21, New King James Version says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors." This is Paul writing here. He says he sees that he serves in a foreign land. He's writing letters and he's speaking to various ministries and churches. He's traveling. He's a traveling evangelist, apostle. And he's ministering and he says, okay, listen, now, if we say, I'm coming to you because we're Christians, we believe the same thing. I want you to understand that we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, here goes kingdom language again. We just read over this stuff and just skip right past it. This is kingdom talk. He didn't say we are good voters in Lake County. We are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a representative of a king. When the king has a message, he will send an ambassador or a herald to deliver a message, not of his own message, but of who sent him. So when we preach and proclaim the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, we are ambassadors. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm not telling you what may be right, what may be good. I'm telling you what the king told me to tell you. This is not something I'm making up. A lot of times, some stuff I don't want to say because sometimes that the fear of the world can creep in because I don't want to be canceled by the culture. Uh-oh. Some of y'all on y'all jobs are scared to speak kingdom because you're scared of being canceled by a culture that never accepted you to begin with. This is why we are counterculture. Like I told you last week, we're a counterculture. Everything we believe in the Bible, guess what? They're setting up rules and laws and establishing policies to ensure that when we are a believer, whatever we say, they're going to deem as what? Hate speech. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created man and woman. Why am I considered a hateful person? Because I believe there are two genders and not 17. I know we don't like to say this stuff. I don't like to say it either, but I gotta say it. Because I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I'm sent to say. Oh, and here's the thing. We're scared to say stuff because we still operate like we got our green card. We don't want to get kicked out of the kingdom that we're in. That's why you're not in the kingdom of God. You're scared of getting kicked out. You're scared that you're not going to meet the customs of the society that you're trying to fit in. That's why you're teeter-totter on borderline foolishness because you're scared. Oh, I got one foot in. I got one foot in the church and one foot in the world because I don't want to be canceled. But when you understand that you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, you can't be canceled. We serve in a bootleg kingdom that any moment it can crash. They can bombard the Capitol. They can do all this crazy stuff. They can burn your buildings down. They can crash the stock markets. They can run out of gas. They can run out of jobs to give you. They can have places that they can't put homeless people. But I serve in the kingdom of heaven, and my God will never lose his power. He can never be defeated, because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You didn't know you was a king, did you? He created you to have dominion. If my daddy's a king, that makes me what? A prince. And at my appointed time, guess what? I'm gonna be what? A king. At the appointed time, I'm going to be a king. That's just how it works. That's why succession is so important. That's why, fathers, you need to raise your sons up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, so when they get old, they understand kingdom. They don't know more street than they do kingdom. They don't know more about video games than they do kingdom. They don't know more about hoes than they do kingdom. We are ambassadors for Christ. I'm here on an assignment from the King. That's why sometimes you just gotta dress a little different, and you gotta get yourself together. You gotta fix yourself up. You gotta brush your hair or oil your hair. Whatever you gotta do. I'm on my way to oiling it anyway. So sometimes you gotta fix yourself up. You gotta put your lashes on. You gotta put your good shoes on. You gotta get dressed. And you gotta walk around like royal priesthood. Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, royalty. How you doing? Royal dinner is on me. Come on, don't be afraid to say it. I may not get you this week, but I get paid in about 2 weeks. Y'all having too much fun. We gotta go home. We gotta go home. Yes. An ambassador does not speak on his own accord or authority. He does not speak his own opinions or demands. He simply says, hallelujah, what he has been commissioned to say. He simply says what he has been commissioned to say. I give you two definitions, then we go home, and hopefully I get invited back to preach to preach part three. The Bible says a prophet is not accepted in his own home. No, I'm just messing with y'all. Two definitions. To teach. To teach means to instruct for change. My desire was to teach. I preached a little bit. My desire was, I told you, I'm Professor Cam today. My desire was to teach you and to instruct you for change, to give you the information and knowledge and wisdom that I had to impart to you so that you may be changed. Are you following me? To preach means to declare or proclaim. So many of us are used to having preachers, but not teachers. When your mom was yelling at you to hurry up and get your lazy behind out the bed so you don't miss the bus, she was preaching. But when someone came along to teach you and say, look, this is how you prepare yourself to be on time. This is how you establish a schedule and a number of things to set up and systems in place so that you can make sure that you're not wasting my time and somebody else's time. This is instruction for change. And those of you that have been taught well, you are a representative of who has taught you. Those of you that went to DeVry have a DeVry degree because they instructed you and caused you to change from someone being ignorant to someone being knowledgeable. Ignorant means to ignore information or ignore what is obvious. Another translation of ignorant, I said two definitions, I'm giving you three. We're in a Baptist church today. I got two more closes. Ignorant means to actively ignore. Actively ignore. I believe there was even one transition. I didn't put it on here because I didn't want y'all to be real offended, but it said aggressive stupidity. So we have to be mindful of what terminologies we use with various people. Some people are unaware of information, but some people have information and ignore it. There's a difference. I'm gonna say this and we're gonna go home. We have too many ignorant believers. I knew I was only going 3.5 claps. I knew it. We have ignorant believers because we have the Word of God. We go to church. We listen to all of our favorite preachers on Sunday. Especially since the pandemic, y'all be in church more than you ever been in church before. You listen to us at 9. Then you listen to so-and-so church at 11. That's why you're looking at your watch now. Then at 12:30, your other favorite preacher come on. And then at 1:30, after you done ate a little bit, you're like, girl, I got to get home. Such and such is on now. Then there's a 6 o'clock prophetic service where you get your prophetic word in because you need to go into Monday with a prophetic calling on your life. I feel my help. But it's not that we as believers lack the knowledge, lack the information. We just ignore it. Brothers and sisters, please stand. I want you to understand that you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. You are a citizen in the kingdom of God. Because you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, our source is who? God. Which means I have some of the same power that he has. So I'm put on earth to establish his power here on earth. I am called to rule, to govern, to own, to prosper. Having stuff doesn't mean you're prospering. Having things does not mean you have dominion. You may have got a PPP loan and you ain't got no business. I'm just letting you know now, we in church. I'm not going to tell on you, but you're going to jail if you don't pay that money back. Listen, whatever you bought, return them cars. Listen, take that stuff back. Okay, you posted your pictures, return it. You post, okay, you flexed. Return. God, come here real quick. Come on, lean in. Take it back. Okay. I love y'all. I don't have bail money for none of y'all. Take that stuff back. Kingdom citizens don't belong in jail. We don't have to do schemes to get what God has already given us. Oh, in the kingdom, nothing is given, it's earned. In the kingdom, nothing is given, it's earned. In Great Britain, healthcare, you earned it because you're in our kingdom. You want to go to university, as they call it? Oh, you earned it. Here, they give you a loan that you'll pay on for the rest of your life so you can make money in their kingdom, so then you can have a 401k that they can tax you on and then take Social Security. I mean, have you ever looked at your pay stub? I'm rambling now. Come on, come on. Yeah. Come on. You looked at all the kingdoms that you pay? Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He wants you to rule. He wants you to reign. He wants you to have dominion. He wants you to be an owner. Come on, lift your hands right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I release a kingdom anointing over your people. Let them grasp the concepts and the culture of the kingdom. Let them take heed to the customs of the kingdom. Let them be in Christ and not be conformed to the ways of the world. Be adapted to the customs of the wicked and perverted world, because everything that you have established, the world has tried to come in and twist or pervert or make wicked of whatever kingdom principles God has established. Father, show them who they really are. Reveal to them who they really are. Visit them. Speak to them. Cause them to have a hunger and a thirst and a desire to know more about you. Don't let them be ignorant believers, but let them walk in the power and the authority that you've given them, so that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we might get back to our rightful place, that we might go back to the mind that you gave Adam before he fell, so that we can have the dominion. You will renew our minds. You will renew so we can receive the keys to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Father, help us to receive your Holy Spirit, who comes to be our aid, to stand beside us, to continue to remind us you're a kingdom's kid. You're a citizen of the kingdom. You can't do that. You can't drink that. You can't smoke that. You can't sex that. You can't have that. Cause us to honor your precious Holy Spirit, which you have given us to lead and guide us into all spiritual understanding and truth, so that we might walk what worthy of the Lord, pleasing you in every way, increasing in your knowledge, that we will walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Father, we love you. We thank you for this word. We say, whatever you have spoken over our lives, it is so. Come on, shout that out loud. Say, it is so. Say, it is so. It is so. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you for joining us. I also want to thank you in advance for clicking on the link to support our ministry. Your giving is what moves ministry forward, and ministry must move forward. You can also visit us online at cffczion.org for more information. If you were blessed by this word, please subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family. God bless you.